5 is going to be where our text is, but I want to touch on some things before we get there. Oh, when you have brethren, specifically, I'm told to tell you, for this congregation here, for God's people in this county, Southern California, there are groups of people, of believers, that pray for us in West Virginia, a couple different groups in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in New Jersey, in Texas, in a lot of different places. Missouri, a couple places in Missouri. They pray for us, and they want you to know that they pray for you. And they pray for God's work to be established here and for Him to keep it. They do. I hope that's a comfort to you. There are places all over. And they want you to know. They pray for you and want you to know about it. Here in Genesis, we'll be looking at Jacob. The title's message is, Go Up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel. The life of Jacob does not look like what the world would call a Christian's life. Worldly people say that. That's his life ain't what the worldly Christians would call a Christian life, is it? From that birth, his twin brother come out first, he's holding on to his heel. Grabbing hope, taken by force, supplanting. Tricked his brother till he's starving to death. That's what I was just saying about if your brother comes in and says, I'm dying, I gotta eat, and you say, give me your car. Give me this. Give me what? No, you give him something to eat. What's wrong with you? The Lord said, you being evil, you don't give your sons a scorpion when they ask you for a fish. Jacob tricked his brother. He said, I'll give you this bowl of beans. You can give me your birthright because I want something from you. He deceived him, tricked him. He tricked his father, his mother. The Lord spoke to his mother, and she didn't forget it her whole life, did she? God speaks it permanent. His mother helped him. He tricked his father to receive that birthright, receive that blessing. And then Isaac was tricked again by his wife and sending Jacob away. She said, oh, Esau's going to kill you. Well, I can fix this. Hey, honey, tell him to go find him a wife. Hey, it's time. He's 70. Come on now. Now, just you govern your house and say, get out and go get married. It's time. Plenty enough time to save his life. But then God came to Jacob, didn't he? He'd done a whole lot of things in 70-some years. A whole lot of things, hadn't he? He hadn't met God. He dressed like his brother. He was a picture of us. Wearing his brother's clothes, smelling like his brother, bringing his brother's venison, not mentioning the works that he did in the past to get the blessing of the Father. He was a picture, didn't even know what was going on. And then God came to him. Look here in Genesis 28. Four things happened when God came to Jacob, and four things happened to us if, that's a big if God comes to us. What's the first thing? Genesis 28, verse 10, Christ is revealed. I want to take time to tell you this too. The gospel is not presented. These words mean things. The gospel is not discussed. The gospel doesn't have an open forum. The gospel isn't open for questions, comments, or concerns. That's not preaching the gospel. Let me say that again. That's not preaching the gospel. Y'all hear me? That's talking about stuff. That's not preaching the gospel. The gospel's declared in power. If I ever speak with authority, it's because I say, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God says. I hope God will let me preach. Four things happen if God comes to a sinner. Pay attention. Verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went down to Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. He's nothing. He ain't even got a pillow. He ain't got a coat to wad up, stick underneath his head. He's using a rock. He's nothing. He don't know he's nothing, but he is nothing. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Christ was revealed to him. We looked at that a while back, didn't we? That's what God told Nathanael. Get down that tree. I got to be with you. He said, because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree. You believe me? You think that's something? That's the answer. You got to be the Son of God. You saw me underneath the tree. How'd you know my name? He said, you think that's something? He said, verily, verily, two verilies. Is that important? Should we pay attention, you think? What does he say? I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Capital S. You're going to see Christ exalted. You think what little bit you've seen so far is something, Nathaniel? Hold on to your britches. You're going to see, you got a whole lifetime of learning that Christ is exalted. Now, whether you're Jacob or you're Nathaniel or whosoever believes now or whoever so shall believe, if God comes to you to work in you, Christ will increase and you will decrease. You won't get more uppity. You'll get more downity. Okay? I promise. If somebody just keeps getting that nose is so hot in the air, they're going to drown if it rains. God ain't humbled them yet. We'll see more and more. More and more, we're going to see that all spiritual blessings come down from heaven through Christ. If we're to be blessed, if grace is to come to us, if peace, if mercy, if love, if anything, it's going to come from the heavens through Christ to us, through his intervention. And all prayers, all petitions, all praise, if it goes to the throne, if our worship is accepted of the Father, it's through his intercession. All of our benefits from his intervention and all of our acceptance is by his intercession. Second thing that happens. One, Christ is exalted. Two, a promise was given. A promise was given. Not from the sinner to God, but from God to the sinner. That's what happens first. It's his words given. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee I'll give it to thee and all thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, singular, right, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I've spoken of thee. That man ain't going to rest until the deal's done. Third, we see Christ exalted. We hear his promises. His promises. His word. We see who Christ is, what he will accomplish for his people. We see that that promise is through the blood and the resurrection of Christ. And that new heart will worship. And I don't mean act it and say a bunch of flowery language and quote a bunch of scripture and play church. It'll cry and rend its clothes and worship God. It'll hit the dust. Humility, true humility, God-given humility, that's the only kind of humility there ever is, will come upon somebody and they'll worship. We'll turn from our idols of old, whether they be drugs, loose living, orthodox religion, or liberal religion. Whatever it is, you won't progress to a better knowledge. You'll turn from that and say, that's a waste. I was a liar. God's true. If God saves you. If he comes to you. You'll turn from those things and you'll worship the true and living God. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. God's been watching me this whole time. And I said prayers and I wrote hymns and I've done this and that. And I didn't know God. And not knowing him, I was at war with him. I hated God, and he revealed himself to me. He made a promise to me, and boy, that's something. He was afraid, verse 17. He said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. It's the door. Christ said, I'm the door. That ain't complicated, is it? Jacob rose up early in the morning. That's good. It's good to get up early. That happens a lot in the scriptures, don't it? A lot in the scriptures. Your children wake up early in the morning. Good for you. Jacob rose up early and took the stone that he had for his pillow and he set it up for a pillar. Where I'm from, we'd say he took that pillar and made it a pillar. God can turn a pillar into a pillar. What we call one thing changes drastically, don't it? He made a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called that name of that place Bethel. That's the house of God. That's where God is. Fourthly, when we see Christ, he that has eyes to see, let him see. When we hear his word, his promises, if you have ears to hear, hear. If we are turned, repented, that pilgrimage from the mind of the flesh to the mind of Christ. If we're turned to him, to bow to him in adoration, not because we grit our teeth and we have to. I guess he's God. I guess we're going to have to bow now. I guess I'm going to have to support that gospel. Yeah. I guess I'm going to have to pray. No, willingly. He's turning because there's a new heart. There's a new creation. When we bow in adoration, then you know what we do? We do anything we want. Whatever you want until you die, and then you get to go to heaven and kick up gold dust. No! No. There's commitment. There's commitment. Verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come to my father's house in peace, he has to do everything. Then shall the Lord be my God. This has been so polluted by wicked men. But it's true. If the Lord gives a new heart, that heart gives itself to the Lord. Go sell all for that pearl. You'll give yourself. Give your heart to Jesus, everybody says. Turn yourself over to lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel, that's the whole weapon assembly. Yeah. That's all of it. All of it. In perfect commitment, we dedicate ourselves. That new man is dedicated. That new man is faithful. And it's his. He did it. He did it. What did Paul tell Timothy? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which what I committed unto him against that day. What happened then? Lord came to Jacob. Lord revealed himself to Jacob. God saved Jacob. And from here until chapter 31, there's no mention of God out of Jacob's lips. Like 28 years or something like that. How could he be a child of God? Well, if he is, God's going to bring him back to him. He won't leave him out in the wilderness, will he? He's going to be committed. He's going to sell all. He's going to take up his cross. He's going to follow, isn't he? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jacob meets his old uncle Laban. He serves 7 years for Rachel, but he gets Leah. He serves 7 more years, and he finally gets his bride, doesn't he? 10 different wages took place. There was the ring strake, the speckled, the spotted, and the brown, and apparently 6 other ones. 10 wages took different. Finally, it was uncomfortable enough that he saw it was times was going to get worse. We read in Genesis 31, verse 3. Genesis 31, 3. The Lord said unto Jacob. Genesis 31, 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Then Jacob mentions the Lord for the first time since he was at Bethel. God came to Jacob. God spoke to Jacob. Then Jacob mentions the Lord. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, he's talking to his wives, I see your father's countenance that it's not towards me as before. Things are changing around here. I can see the tides coming in. he had a little bit of common sense, didn't he? He's pushing 100. I think he's learned 1 or 2 things. He can read a room. You know what I mean? But the God of my father hath been with me. Things have changed. God's been with me. How do you know? God said so. And he remembered. His pure mind was stored up. That baby had took a nap for 30-some years, hadn't it? If they're God's, he brings them back. He leaves the 99, and he goes gets to 1, and he doesn't pat it on its head and say, good luck out here, buddy. Stay out in the wilderness with you. He brings them back to the fold, doesn't he? I can't say that plain enough. That's offensive to a lot of people. What do you mean I can't make it on my own? If you'd have went to Montana, I'm not preaching to the world, I'm preaching to you people. God sent me here to you. Matt, if you'd have went to Montana and your God, he'd have brought you back. And boy, it hurt. You know how I know? I went to Germany. So I got this knee brace on today. Lord, use that means. I don't want to go back to the means to do a whole lot of work. Bring me here today, didn't he? If we're his, he brings us back. Jacob answers him. He said, the God of my father hath been with me. He tells his family, says, it's time to go. God told us to go. He ought to have stuck his chest out and walked to that city and said, I dare you to take something of mine, Laban. I'll slap a taste out of your mouth. What'd he do? The child of God that we're sons of. We're sons of Jacob if we're his. He snuck out at night because he's afraid. God just told him, I'm with you. Go to your father's house. I'm with you. He knew who God was, the Almighty God. Let's do it at 2 a.m. We're going to pack. It's going to take us a while to pack. Laban pursues him with a bunch of men, doesn't he? In perfection. And the Lord wouldn't let Laban touch Jacob. And Jacob tried to make peace with Laban. Jacob took it in his hand to make a covenant with Laban. Laban finally left it alone. I bet Jacob thought, I did something good that day, didn't he? As soon as that trial's over, Esau's coming, isn't he? And after a lot of kowtowing and unneeded groveling and everything else and bowing, he convinces Esau to go on ahead. I just can't go with you, brother, because these children are little and we just got a lot. But there's some important things going on. These cows are going to die. So he convinces Esau to go ahead. He lies to him again. And then he heads the other way to Shalem, the city of Shechem. He doesn't go where God told him. And there was the defiling of Dinah, his only daughter. She was defiled. And then Simeon and Levi, they killed every man in that city and spoiled it. And they took the women, and they took the children, and they took all the goods, and they took all the wealth. Look over in chapter 34, verse 30. Genesis 34, 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink. You rotten boys, you make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. What about God? What's God think? What are people going to think? Who cares? It's what Jacob cared about, wasn't it? You made me stink among the people, among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. I shall be destroyed, I and my house. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose. What do you have you didn't receive? I'm going to lose everything. I'm a goner. And they said, should he deal with our sister as a harlot? You worried about your possessions. Your daughter was just defiled. Now times are truly troubled, wasn't it? Is that pretty low? That's pretty low. Before, Jacob had some close calls, didn't he? Kept looking like close calls. But the world would say he was blessed greatly. You know what carnal man would think? You know what sons of Adam would say? Well, he had a bunch of wives, and he had a bunch of children, and he had lots of money, and he had a bunch of livestock, and that brother was going to kill him. Finally, he fell on his neck and kissed him. The family's going good. Everything's great. He went up to Shechem, and the Lord said, you're going to dwell in tents. I said, well, we'll build booths. Technicality, bow to God and knock that junk off. The Lord touched him, didn't he? Now his daughter's defiled, and two of his sons have committed mass murder. You seen the news like at all this year? What about your children? What's keeping your children from doing that? The grace of God, isn't it? What's keeping my children from doing that? The grace of God. What's keeping me from doing that? The grace of God. Now, worldly wise, Jacob's got a defiled daughter, his only daughter. And two of his sons have committed mass murder, and the world knows about it. Times are bad. Times are rough. Times are disturbing. Times are hard to bear. What now? Have you ever had some rough times? Some rocky seas? You ever had tough times? What do you do in troubled times? What do we do in times of trouble? What word does the Lord give his people in times of true trouble? I mean, soul trouble. I've heard people before say, I've done it. I said, I'm too upset. I was just grief stricken. And I said, I can't go hear God. I can't go to his house and hear the word preached. It ain't no sense of me even going. I ain't going to be able to hear nothing. It was the worst thing I ever thought, wasn't it? And what happened? I went, and God blessed me greatly. I've heard people advise others to not come to hear the gospel preached. Is that according to the Word of God? Let's see. Let's see what God says. That's important, isn't it? Does it matter what you think and your opinion of things or how we done it? This is how we did it in the past. How you did it was wrong if it ain't according to the Word of God. What's God say? You ought to hire a feller to study full time and commit his whole life over to figuring out what God says, and then you can just go ask him. Say, hey, what about this? It's a novel idea, isn't it? What does the Lord say? Again, the Lord's faithful. Jacob yelled at his sons. Is that what he did? Got Simeon and Levi in there and chewed them out. He yelled at his sons instead of crying to God. And now what seems the lowest a person could ever get, the Lord speaks to Jacob. Genesis 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Remember last hour? One sentence. You think there's some gospel in that? Or do we read it real fast? If I'm going to read something short, okay? Don't read 87 verses. You're going to sit down and study something? Get you a little Werther's original and just waller that thing around and see how long it tastes. It tastes good. Give it a while. One verse here. That's got a lot in it. What instruction? Who's talking? We see a theme developing. Who's speaking? Verse 1 says, and God said unto Jacob. God said unto Jacob. This isn't your shady uncle's advice, Jacob. This ain't Laban. This ain't grandma's wisdom. Oh, that blue-haired little saint. No, no, no. God said to Jacob. What'd he say? He gave him a four-part commandment. Remember what happened whenever he met him back in chapter 28? There was some things that happened, wasn't there? What about here? God gave a four-part commandment to him. First, arise. Arise. It would do us good. That's what the scriptures say. Wake up and get up. It would do us good to arise. Arise. What's another way the scripture said? Quit you like men. You're down in the dumps. Knock it off. Knock it off. Gird up your loins. Stop laying around in a bunch of self-pity and a bunch of woe is me and get up. You being nothing but sin, we've established that 30 years ago, Jacob. We got it. You ain't nothing but sin. You have no ability. Now get up. Arise. Arise. Second, go up to Bethel. Because you're below Bethel. Go up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel. Go to the house of God. Go to the house of God. Go where he's worshipped. Go where Christ is preached. Don't go to the bank. Don't go to the grocery store. Don't go to the beach. Science has not proven that heartaches are healed by the sea. Don't even go to church. Oh, well, it's good to go to any church. No, it ain't. It's deadly. It ain't less accurate. It's deadly. I gave it all I got. Don't even go to church. You go to where God meets with sinners. You go to where God meets with sinners. Where his gospel is preached. Where Christ is exalted. Where man's abased. And all flesh is grass. Behold your God. Not where ideas are talked about and discussed and presented and displayed. And, well, you can take it or leave it. Hogwash, where it's declared. You go, get up, go to God's house. Go to Bethel. And what? Third, dwell there. Dwell there. Don't leave. I left. Jacob left. I knew God. And I thought, well, I know better than he says. I can listen to tapes. And no, you can't. You'll starve to death. I know. And it hurt. And I don't want to see other people hurt. He brought me back. He says, dwell there. You think after, it's been 30 years since the Lord spoke to him. He's 100 years old now. Bob, that ain't much compared to an eternal God, is it? He's a young fella. He don't know much. It's been 30 years since God spoke to him. You reckon the Lord's wise enough to prime his pump? He tells him, dwell there. John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt continue with us. They might have left for a season, but they'd have come back. They'd have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest they wouldn't all of us. I knew some people that were faithful almost to the end. Does that count, Cass? No. God's people are faithful to the end because he keeps them. He loves them to the end. Did he love them almost to the end? Now, that's hard to say, but I quit clinging to man and cling to God's word. Paul didn't say agree with it. Paul said do it. Cling to God's word. Cling to God's word. He said dwell there. I've heard people who get so upset when they hear this. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't forsake the assembly of the saints. Oh man, the excuses start flying. They flew to the Lord. I got cows I ain't never seen, but I bought them. I got land I ain't never seen. I got oceanfront property in Arizona that I paid for, but I got to go look at it. And well, I'm married, and, you know, I'm my wife's just hard to take care of. And we got potty trained kids, and that exhorting makes the Lord's people happy. They quit bucking and they bow. God said, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. But, shut up. That's hard language. I mean it. Shut up. What's God's people say? David said this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. They quit making up excuses and quit having things that are more important than worshiping God, and they go worship God because he's worth it. He's a pearl, and he's of a great price. They ain't no other pearls. They let it alone. It's good to go where God's gospel's preached, and then you get there and you dwell there. That means inhabitate. Take up residence. That's your citizenship. Right? And our conversation. People say that conversation, citizenship, that's what that means. However, that's also coming out of our mouths, isn't it? Do we say, well, God's trying and God wouldn't do that and I know better than God? No, you don't. Your conversation's of heavenly things, isn't it? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Were we united in the one we're made one with? To dwell with Christ, isn't it? Dwell there. Get up. Go to God's house. Stay there. Stay there. Fourthly, make an altar unto God. Make an altar unto God. Does that mean we got to build something out of stones? And Christ is our altar. What do we say? Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the context of that? Don't be carried away with divers and strange doctrines. Leave that doctrine junk alone and worship Christ. Quit fighting it on the internet and quit fighting it in old books and quit fighting it by letters or whatever, smoke signals, and bow to Christ. Give it up. For it's good, a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats and which profited them which been occupied therein. But we have an altar. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Those that's doing something for God ain't got no right to come to Christ. They got to give up that junk. Come to him. Christ is our altar. He said, make an altar unto God. What are you going to give God? Christ. I'll give him what he gave me. He won't have nothing else, will he? If there's no Christ, wherever somebody listens to this, a lot of people listen to this. I got a bunch of emails. And somebody's listening to this. Or somebody knows a family member. You heed me. Or God didn't see me, close your ears up and take a nap. I don't care. I do care. Listen, if you're at a place and there's no Christ, if he's not paramount, if he doesn't have preeminence in all things, in truth, not as man says, as God says, get away from there. You'd be better off going to an AC/DC concert. Get away from there. What does that mean? We attempt to worship. If our attempts to worship does not concern the blood, Christ our altar, it's not worshiping Christ and him crucified. Get out of there. Get out of there. If we gather into a place, and my pastor said this a long time ago. It's amazing what's still true from a long time ago. He said, if your church is nothing but a social club for friends, for eating, for activities, and chit-chat, coffee sipping, that's the Kevin Thacker add-on, you need to get out of there because that's all it is. There's got to be blood. There's got to be a sacrifice that's accepted. a bloody accepted sacrifice. There has to be a propitiation. What's that? No, who? You build an altar unto God. It's his altar. It's Christ, isn't it? Here's, I put 4.5. The fourth and a half thing. We remember that first love, don't we? Back when you were fleeing your brother. That's what he says. Arise. Get to the house of God. You stay there. You do nothing but see Christ. And you remember that first love. Remember whenever you're going back to Bethel. That's where the Lord saved you. And remember whenever your brother was pursuing you? You deserve to die. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Remember that first love. The Lord says, told us that in Revelation 2. He said, nevertheless, I've got something against you. Would you perk up and listen to that? God says, I got something against you. Whoa, what? That ought to be important, shouldn't it? He said, because thou hast left thy first love. You're clinging to other things. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. The singular sin. Remember what you are. And repent. And do the first work. What was the first works? Well, the Lord came to me and he showed me Christ. And remember that? I fell on my face. I worshiped him. I committed myself to him. Genesis 35, verse 2. Here's the result of it. The Lord comes and speaks to us. He tells us, arise. You get up and you go. You go. Does that say go? That says go. What if a gospel ain't there? Because it wouldn't. If so, my dear brother who ain't with us no more reserved greatly from saying this because he said he'd be accountable. I ain't. If somebody lives for the gospel, I ain't. Sell out and go. Well, it's expensive. Taylor, Arkansas is cheap. Ain't nothing expensive in Sylacauga, Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Kingsport, Tennessee ain't that high and mighty either. Precious places. The gospel's there. That's Bethel. That's the house of God. Cheap. Go there. I'll help you move. Get you a U-Haul gift card. Help you pack. If somebody's where the gospel ain't, you get up and go to where the gospel is. It's life or death because he may just leave us to ourselves. I pray I'm his. I pray he keeps me to the end. Don't he? What's the result of that? What's the result of the Lord coming and saying, arise and go to Bethel and you build an altar there, you see Christ, and you don't forget where you come from, and you don't forget that first work that I saved you. You remember me. You remember who you are. You remember who I am. What's the result of that? Verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household. Is that part of his household? Does it say he said to 2/3 of his household? He said to his household. Well, that could come at a great cost now. Who cares? We got the pearl. He said to his household and to all that were with him, everybody, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. He commanded his house according to the word of God. Only when the faith was given to him to believe God's words. That's when he stopped serving self and he started serving the Lord. He obeyed God's word and he commanded his house. I could get put on a chopping block fretting this day, couldn't I? Men's the head of the house. Command your house and all that's with you. Well, they might leave. Yeah, they may. You going to offend them or offend God? Command your house. The Lord spoke concerning Abraham back in Genesis 18. You remember that? It's been a long time since we looked at it. He said, I know him. God spoke of Abraham. He said, I know Abraham, and he will command his children and his household. That's everything that's on his land. After him. After him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. My children, especially the ones that's getting of age about to graduate high school. This is apparently foreign language to a lot of people. My house, my rules. That's my house. You eat my food, you stay underneath my roof, you're going to come worship God. We're going to his house. That's going to happen. When we believe God, that's what we do. Jacob believed God and he commanded his house. Isn't that what that Philippian jailer did? Remember that big earthquake? It came, all the prison broke down, and he was about to kill himself because he's going to be accountable. He said, well, if I just kill myself, this would be a whole lot easier than what they're going to do to me. But Paul cried. Good news was yelled, wasn't it? With a loud voice. He said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew this from God. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They didn't tell him what they thought. They didn't give him a plan of salvation. They told him about the God of salvation. And to all that were in his house. Now, that was the middle of the night, wasn't it? How did everybody in his house get down that living room to hear Paul and Silas preach? He went and woke them up to his house. Well, them teenagers are awful grumpy. Well, they're going to get ungrumpy, and they're going to get downstairs. God's man's here to preach to them. Get them downstairs. And then what happened? He brought them to his house. He set meat before them, and they rejoiced in God and believed with all his house. Him and his whole house was baptized. They obeyed God. They have given the faith to obey God, said, be baptized in truth, now that you know Christ. And they did it. They did it. Jacob commanded his house. What did Jacob tell his whole household? Verse 2. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. Anybody? Listen. Put away the strange gods that are among you. This whole time, Rachel, oh, he loved her. She had them gods she stole from Laban, remember? She put them underneath that box. She sat on it. She said, well, it's not the right time of month, Daddy. And he said, oh, I'll look everywhere else. We'll leave that box alone. And she took them. It was idols. Jacob knew that. He was just long-suffering, wasn't he? And he said, put that junk away. You cling into a baptism when he was 15 years old and you took a pledge card, put it away. That's a false god. Because you saved underneath the Orthodox Church and then you came to know the doctrines of grace, put that junk away. That's a false god. And bow to the God, because he's going to build an altar, didn't he? And he tells him, he said, be clean, because that's unclean. Looking to self, looking to false gods, looking to everything in this world. It's unclean. You be clean. Put that junk away. Look to the Lord and change your garments. Why'd they change garments? They had to. They were going to the house of God. I know there's some cultural things in this side of the country I got to get used to. And I pray God give me the wisdom to discern between what needs corrected and what needs just looked over. But would it distract you if I stood up here in a tank top and flip-flops and preached to you? I'm speaking to you individually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Would that distract you? Now, let me ask you another question. What would these children and what would the people in this community think of me and my commitment to Almighty God and how important this is if I dressed up in tank tops and flip-flops and come in here to preach the gospel to you? Would they think it's serious? Even in this relaxed day, would they think it's serious? Let me tell you something. If we dress better for a wedding than we do a church service, what will our little ones and what will our friends in this community think we honor more, a wedding or the worship of God? Now, we may not have, I don't have Armani suits, but I put on the best thing I got. And I'll get a job. I'll go deliver pizzas in San Diego County so I can stay stocked up in ties. Because that's what's appropriate in our culture in this day. Do you understand that? Because there's commitment. There's not talking about it, there's doing it. Change of clothes. You clean up. God saved a naked man in the tombs, didn't he? If somebody's naked, I'll get a coat, wear my jacket, sup, cover them up. But preach to them. They need the gospel. But then he was clothed in his right mind, wasn't he? There's a fella slept on that back bench. Remember a long time ago? Sleeping. I didn't say a word about it. You know why? Because if I had to correct every time somebody fell asleep during the preaching of the gospel, I'd do a whole lot of correcting. I'd have been corrected a lot when I was younger, too. So, isn't it? What was David to do after he found out his son was dead? He was dirty. He mourned. He rose. What did God tell Jacob? Arise. What did David do? He arose from the earth and he washed and he anointed himself and changed his apparel. You have my word. He didn't put on pajamas to go worship God. I told you that when COVID started, it was the thing. I said, when you're home, we have to watch online. You go shave. You men shave. You women put your dresses on and you act like you're going to a wedding because you might just get married to your kinsman redeemer today. Maybe he'll save somebody. And we're going to act like it. And we're going to teach our children this because they're going to do what we do. Somebody's watching. It's so. Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices of the fools. For they consider not what they do as evil. Does that mean the sacrifices of the fools? Yeah, that's evil. Does that mean not keeping your foot in the house of God? Yep, that too. It's God's house. In another 20 or 30 years, I'll be bold and plain put as some of my brethren are in this day. But though we have the liberty, Jacob's family had the liberty to wear wherever they wanted to God's house, didn't they? He told him, change clothes. You go take a shower. You get cleaned up. Well, that's going to take a long time. Well, make it take a long time. Backwards plan. Build your life around the worship of God. We have liberty that we did not have before, don't we? We also have the reverence to a living God that we didn't have before. You understand that? We have the liberty. I can wear flip-flops and I can wear a tank top. That's legal. I'm not going to... My sonship with the Lord is not going to be undone because I don't wear a tie when I preach. You understand that? Though I now have that liberty, I also now have the respect and reverence. We respect the Lord. We reverence the Lord. And within our capacity, we do the best we can. No. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. Everything's legal, but not all things expedient. Just because you can don't mean you ought to. Is that right? Just because we do have that freedom doesn't mean we ought to take advantage of it. We ought to worship God. Jacob commanded his house. He said, we're going to go worship God. He said, you put away all that old junky religion. It's filthy rags. All that good stuff you did before and you found the right place. Hush, put it away. They're going to bury him underneath the tree. So that way nobody else can get him. They burnt that curious art. Or 50,000 pieces of silver, so nobody else could get them. If you had a big thing of poison, would you say, I ain't drinking that. Here, let's just set it down here in a kindergarten. No, dispose of it. Put it away. He said, you put away all those gods, and you clean yourself up, and you change your clothes. We're heading to Bethel. He told him the same thing the Lord told him. I said, arise and go. Verse 4, what's the result of that? And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, which were in their hand. They were clinging to it. What in a box no more? Did you get that? It was in their hand. Well, I didn't know it was in my hand. Oh, there it is. And their earrings, which were in their ears. That's all the stuff that the Simeon and Levi got out of that town. They worshipped those earrings because, boy, that was pretty. That's precious. They had to count Christ precious. He had to be the pearl. And Jacob hid them under an oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon those cities. Remember what Jacob just said, just 4 verses ago. He said, they're all going to kill me. I'm a dead man. What's the difference between then and now? He believed God. God spoke to him. God commanded his heart, gave him faith to believe, and he believed. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. They looked out their windows and said, there they go. You going after them? Nuh-uh. The Lord saved us. We don't believe and then we're saved. We're saved and he makes us believe, right? We don't believe and then we're made sons. We're sons. That's why we believe. If he's done these things, if he's given us his pearl brick cross, and we know it, we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, why don't we just do what he says? I've said that before, and in a sense, it's so, like Brother Bill Clark said in England and Africa, he said, they wondered, what's your rule of life? He said, believe Christ and do what you want. Now, what you want is going to be what he says, isn't it? A better way to say it is, believe Christ and do what he says. Do what he says. How in the world, mankind, and me included, it's me, how can I do it the opposite of what God says, and then I'm bumfuzzled when he don't bless it? Well, how did this go south? I'm a fool, ain't I? Oh, I pray I could give all my strange gods that's in my hand away and take all those things I think make me beautiful and get rid of it. And they could be hidden underneath some oak. Nobody ever find them. What did the Lord say? They're going to search. There's going to be a searching for Israel's sins. Ain't they? And they won't be found. They won't be found. Why? Because of that ladder. Remember that? Remember that first thing we started talking about? That first love? Because of Christ. Because of his intercession. His intervention on us, isn't it? Let's pray together.